You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Yeah, joining me now on the line is the good pastor who was scheduled to talk to us today. This is Pastor Prince Mwenda joining us on the line. And Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
All right, thank you very much. How are you, everyone? And hope we are okay, and hope God is blessing you to each and every location where you are.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Indeed, God is. Today we're talking salvation, particularly being people who are saved but still sinning. Saved but still struggling. Oh, yeah. We're talking about that today. So let's just jump right in, since we have missed out on a lot of time that we had. Why do many believers struggle with feeling not saved enough?
All right, thank you very much. That's a good question, and thank you for having me again. Yeah, so the thing is that a lot of the people, from your question, just allow me to point out the key word. You have just used the term feeling, all right? So now the thing is that when God gave his son for him to die for everyone, he gave the son to die for, so that people can have salvation at the end of the day. Now the issue is that when people believe in him, the issue is not about feelings, no. There are no feelings here. That's the thing, is to believe. So if you believe that actually Christ died for your sins, actually the main idea, the end result there, to be salvation. So you don't have to feel, you have to believe that no, Christ died for me. So that's the thing. People have to believe, not to feel. There is faith attached to that.
Okay.
Through faith, yeah.
Okay, so how do we distinguish between condemnation and conviction? Because these two yield different results. I suppose one of these yields these feelings, and perhaps a good understanding of the distinction between the two will help us respond appropriately and not with feelings. And that's why I'm asking, how do we distinguish between condemnation and conviction?
All right, so that's a good question, condemnation and conviction. So the thing is that, let's speak on condemnation. Let me give an example of this wonderful lady. And in the morning, she's preparing to go to the office, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what does she do? She looks herself on the mirror. So we have the law of God, which is actually the mirror of righteousness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you have, whenever I talk about salvation here, so I'm trying to look at the law of God, okay? Mm-hmm. So the law of God is actually the one that is going to tell you the things that must be done.
Right.
So a lot of people, like Paul says that, a lot of the people, those who are under the law, okay? So the law is the one that actually does what, that actually makes us to be condemned, because if we don't follow what the law is saying, at the end of the day, we see that if we are going contrary to the law,
yeah,
we see that we are being condemned. Are you together?
Yes.
But the conviction, that innermost conviction, you are convicted that no, I think if I do this thing, God is going to react in this way. There's actually a deep conviction in you. The inner you is telling you that no, I must do the right thing. So that's how you find that people are condemned, because they go against the law. But after you know that that this is what the law says, you're going to do the right thing. Let me
right.
just read this out for you.
Okay.
If time allows, of course.
Yes, go ahead.
So we find that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and leads to repentance, confession, and restoration. Condemnation comes from Satan. We can actually get this from Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and leads to guilt,
right,
shame, helplessness, and pushing us away from God.
Are you still there, Pastor?
I'm still there.
Okay.
I think that's all according to time.
No. Don't worry about the time, Mfundisi. We started late and we want to hear. This topic is very important.
Oh.
So I'm going to shift things around so that we can be able to accommodate this conversation to its fullest. So how can we support others who are battling silently after their salvation, Mfundisi? You know, where people get saved and we celebrate after their baptism, we give them presents, we give them mentors, we give them all sorts of love and all of that. When they go home, they still struggle with the things that they were struggling with before they went into the baptismal pool. How then, how do we support those who are battling with the same problems that they had when they went to the baptismal pool, but now they have to be quiet because everyone is heaping up all these expectations of righteousness on them. Now that you're baptized, now you must live righteous lives. Mm-hmm. And yet when they go back home, the very same aches and pains, desires and wills, inclinations and weaknesses are still knocking at the door. How do we support those people?
All right. So so the thing is that when someone gets baptized, right, you decide to follow Christ and you decide to make your way into the pool.
Right.
Now, it actually comes to those people that are actually in the faith to encourage them. Okay.
Right.
So now I find that SJ teaching highlights the importance of community encouragement and also discipleship. All right.
Right.
So we can actually encourage these people from the way. Let's give an example from. Allow me to quote from Galatians chapter 6 verse 2.
Okay.
Where the Bible says, "Bear one another's burdens."
Yes.
"And so fulfill the law of Christ."
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So those people that we see that, no, these people, they are actually battling silently for their salvation. You can actually encourage them from these same words. Apart from that, also James. James also, one of the authors in the Bible, also pens these things to say from the book of James chapter 5, verse 16. He says that, "Confess your trespasses to one another," all right? Mm. The key term there is "to one another."
Mm.
"And pray for one another that you may be healed." Okay?
Okay.
So this support can also include praying with and for those people, reminding them God's promises, being a consistent and non-judgmental, having that non-judgmental presence to them, all right? Mm-hmm. And sharing your own struggles and victories.
Right.
I think that can be a good way to help those people.
Yeah, yeah. Let's stick with the scriptures, Mfundisi. What promises from scripture encourage us during these struggles? Just share these so that people can keep on going back to these scriptural promises whenever they are feeling like they are losing their light.
All right. So whenever to those people that are hearing us from, ever you can hear us from. So whenever you feel as if you're losing your way, you feel that, no, I think salvation isn't okay for me. Mm. I'm always low. I'm always being thrown off. So you can actually read from the book of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10,
right,
where God actually gives us a promise to say that, "Fear not, for I am with you.
Right.
I will uphold you with my glorious, with my righteous hand." Okay. Also, if you go in the New Testament, also Paul writes to the church in to the people of Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, where he says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion."
Right.
All right. So these are just words that are motivating us. Finally, let me just end with Hebrews Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, where the Bible says, "Nothing can separate us from God's love."
Oh, of course, yeah. Okay, so beautiful, beautiful. Finally, Mfundisi, how do we avoid giving up on ourselves when we stumble? Because as human beings, we will stumble. Mm-hmm. And when we stumble repeatedly, we tend to lose heart, we lose faith, we tend to feel, no, this thing is useless. Why is it that I keep on falling in the same place? How do we avoid giving up on those women when we stumble?
Oh, by the way, I love that language you just put. I don't know, is that Ndebele?
No, it's close, Mfundisi.
No, I wish you would teach that to me also one day. All right, so the question is that, how do we avoid giving up on ourselves when we stumble? All right. So here, also the encouragement still continues on. First of all, we are not like machines that are perfect. Okay.
Right.
We are prone to error here and there. But
right.
The word of the Lord is always there to help us to lean on it every time whenever we fall down. We continue moving. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, he says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again."
Yeah.
So in this journey of Christianity, you cannot all be perfect, but there's always the Lord to help us.
Right.
Okay. So we can always lean on the Lord and be able to rise up whenever storms roll. We're able to depend on God. Apart from that, allow me also to quote from the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8.
Right.
The Bible says, when I fall, I will rise.
Oh, Ngosia.
When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me.
Right.
So whenever we stumble, let's always lean on the promises of God. That's like a hymn writer was saying, that standing on the promises of the Lord, our Savior.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. So let's always avoid giving up and also focus on crisis protection on us.
Right. Lovely. Oh, yeah. Lovely. That's brilliant. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. We're going to leave it right there on that note. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time and your insight. Thank you very much for trying. We nearly gave up, but we didn't. And I'm happy we didn't give up. We got to hear all the nuggets of wisdom you've shared with us. Have a wonderful day further, Mfundisi. And tell those people to stop making noise behind you. We'll meet again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you. I will.
Thank you, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.